the 2015 teaching series in the USA, Glorious Vajrasattva. Speaker, Kenpo Tsultrim Lodro. For more lectures, please visit our official website, www.luminouswisdom.org.
各位师兄, 大家下午好。
Good afternoon, everybody.
首先, 请大家发菩提心。
Please listen by cultivating bodhicitta.
菩提心, 我们简单的 介绍一下。
I'll give a little introduction to what bodhicitta means.
今天早上, 我们也提到过菩提心就有两个条件，只要有两个条件，两个条件都具备了，就叫做菩提心。We
talked about two conditions or two criteria that are involved with the generation of bodhicitta. If you're perfectly equipped with these two aspects of the bodhicitta, then you're considered fully qualified with the presence of the bodhicitta.
菩提心 跟我们通常我们讲的爱是不一样的。
Bodhicitta is different from what we know about love in a general sense.
菩提心跟我们通常讲的慈悲心也有所区别。And
it's also different from what we know of what compassion is or loving kindness is.
但是我们通常讲的爱和慈悲心都可以作为
But both love and loving kindness can serve as the foundation of bodhicitta.
也就是说, 爱和慈悲心就是菩提心的前提的条件。So,
in other words, love and loving kindness can be perceived as the predecessors of bodhicitta.
也就是说, 如果没有爱, 没有慈悲心, 就不会有菩提心。
So that is to say that without the presence of love and compassion, there's no possibility for bodhicitta to arise.
那么菩提心, 首先要学会爱所有的众生, 慈悲所有的众生。
So first and foremost, you have to know how to love all the sentient beings and be kind to them.
这个就是大乘佛教的精华，大乘佛教的思想。
So this is the principle and also the essence of the Mahayana Buddhism.
菩提心就是大乘佛教的灵魂，也就是大乘佛教的精华。
In other words, bodhicitta is the soul and spirit of Mahayana Buddhism, and it's also the essence of Mahayana Buddhism.
就是说，如果没有菩提心，就是没有大乘佛教。
So without the presence of bodhicitta, you're not relevant or related to Mahayana Buddhism.
大乘佛教它为什么是大乘呢? 因为它有菩提心, 所以就是大乘。
The reason why it is called Mahayana Buddhism or a greater vehicle is because you have this bodhicitta.
如果大乘佛教没有菩提心, 就不会叫大乘。
So in other words, without bodhicitta, it won't ever be called a Mahayana vehicle.
所以我们学大乘佛教，必须要首先要学菩提心。
That is why in order to learn about what Mahayana Buddhism is, first and foremost, you have to know what bodhicitta is.
学菩提心，首先必须要学爱所有众生，或者是慈悲所有的众生。
To learn how to cultivate bodhicitta, you have to learn how to love and be kind to all sentient beings.
我们每个人都会有爱和每个人都会有慈悲心，但是呢，我们的爱和慈悲是非常有局限性的。
I believe we all have love and kindness, but these type of love and kindness are rather limited.
我们有太多太多的 这个局限，那么这些局限当中呢，包括种族，包括国家，包括地域等等，太多太多的这个局限性。
These type of love or compassion is rather limited and conditioned, and it's contingent upon how you feel with certain race or a certain country or a certain region.
达成佛教的菩提心，他把这些局限，所有的局限都打破。
So the Mahayana Bodhicitta break open the boundary of this limitation.
菩提心，他没有宗族的界限，他也没有异教徒宗教的异教的这个界限，他也没有地域的界限，他也没有不同的，比如说像人、动物这样子的生命的级别的。这个局限，他把所有的局限、所有的界限都打破了，这个就叫做大爱或者是大慈大悲。
So different from the conventional love and compassion and conditioned conditioned love and compassion for selective beings, the Mahayana Bodhicitta is something that transcends the boundary of all that can be defined.It transcends race, it transcends region, religions, any different forms of living, state of living. So animals, all kinds of form of lives. The boundary of all of these factors are broken up. So it is, that is why it is called a greater love or a greater compassion.
达成佛教，他不允许地主或者是不允许诽谤任何一个宗教。
So it is actually a discipline or a precept defined by Mahayana Buddhism to not ever disparage or criticize other religious practice.
从菩提心的角度来讲异教徒。也是修菩提心的对象。
So from the perspective of practicing bodhicitta, even non-Buddhists should become the subject of our compassionate practice.
尤其是密宗，密宗里面呢有十四条最根本的戒律。
And this is especially related to the Samaya, the 14 root Samaya under the Tantric Buddhism.
其中有一条戒律是不允许随意的去诽谤其他的宗教。
And this is actually one of the 14 root Samaya practiced under Tantric Buddhism, which is to not ever disparage or criticize other religious practices.
大乘佛教的有一个非常著名的佛经，就叫做《三摩地王经》。
There is a very famous sutra in according to Mahayana Buddhist tradition called the Sutra of the King of Samadhi.
那么这个《三摩地王经》里面呢，讲六毒。
And in this sutra, there is mentioning of the six perfection.
六度当中的第一个六度当中有一个叫做忍辱忍耐安忍。
So one of the practice of six perfections is called patience, the practice of patience.
那么这个安忍当中呢有一个非常特别的安忍，就是包容所有的异教徒。要理解所有的异教徒，这个就是这个安忍当中的最关键的一个安忍。
So one critical aspect that falls under the practice of patience is to tolerate and understand other religious practitioners or their traditions.
所以在菩提心的面前，没有任何的像宗教、宗族、国家。等等这样子的界限。
Therefore, there shouldn't be any boundary between what was just mentioned, between the races, between regions, countries, or animals, different forms of living. There shouldn't be any boundary whatsoever.
我们每一个人都有爱，有慈悲，这个爱叫做孝爱，或者是孝慈孝悲。
So we all have love and compassion towards others, but this is rather limited, and therefore we call it a smaller scale of love and compassion.
有一种非常特别的训练的方法，通过这种训练的方法，我们可以把我们的孝爱可以培养成大爱。
And then there's this particular training that can actually help you expand the scope of your love and compassion.
这个非常特别的训练的方式就叫做菩提心的修法。
So this special training, is what's known as the practice of bodhicitta.
大乘佛教对天下所有的众生要发慈悲心，这个就是菩提心的一半。一半，50%。
So, as a principle of Mahayana Buddhism, according to the principle of Mahayana Buddhism, to be able to extend this unconditional love and loving kindness and compassion towards all the sentient beings in the world, is considered only half a 50% of what bodhicitta really means.
那么另外一个50%是什么呢？就是如果我们要帮助天下所有的众生啊，要帮助让天下所有众生离苦得乐，这样子的话，首先我自己要成佛才能够做得到。
So how do we exercise the other 50%? It requires the aspiration to help all sentient beings to be free from all sufferings.Of the cyclic existence. So in order to do that, you will aspire to attain Buddhahood first in order to achieve that.
最后我们就是为了帮助天下所有的众生啊，我一定要成佛，这样子下了这个决心的时候呢，那么这个就是这个菩提心的另外一个50%，这样子这两个加起来就是一个很完整的菩提心。
So by making this determination to attain Buddhahood for the benefit of all the sentient beings, this will be considered the exercise of this other 50% of the bodhicitta. And if you are able to cultivate this other 50%, then you can say that your cultivation of bodhicitta will be complete.
这个菩提心说起来很简单很容易，但是呢做起来没有那么容易。
So this cultivation of bodhicitta sounds rather simple and easy, but actually it's not that easy.
但是如果我们只要有这个决心，只要有这个勇气往这个方面努力的话，总有一天我们一定会成功的。
However, with determination,and the courage to get on the path, to cultivate bodhicitta, to strive towards your goal, then one day you will be there, you will reach your goal.
我们通常会说有多大的信才能够做多大的事这句话是准确的。有多大的心就能够做多大的事，对。
有多大的心就做多大的事 ，OK。So it was generally said that your action is really defined by how big your heart is for it.
从目前的角度看，我们成佛离我们有很远的距离，但是呢，如果能够发菩提心，这个距离只会缩小，不会更大。
From a certain perspective, we may think that attaining Buddhahood seems to be so far away from me. But yet, if you're able to cultivate bodhicitta, then I wouldn't say it's too far.
那么这个菩提心 在我们的修心的过程当中，祈祷非常非常关键的作用。
That is why, the presence of bodhicitta plays a very critical role in our practice.
比如说，我们今天这些花啊，这束花，我们拿来供养啊，莲花生大师、诸佛菩萨。那么，这个功德是大乘佛教还是小乘佛教呢？
For example, if you were to offer this flower right here, to Buddha Shakyamuni or Buddha, Guru Padmasambhava or all the Buddhas and Bodhisattva in the 10 directions, what would you consider this virtue? Is it in harmony more with the Mahayana Buddhism or what?
如果有菩提心，在菩提心的基础上，我们把这些花拿来供佛，这个功德就叫做大乘佛教。
If you're making this offering on the basis of the presence of the bodhicitta, then of course it qualifies for the virtue or the merit of a Mahayana level.
如果我们为了自己的健康，为了自己的长寿，或者是为了自己的解脱，把这束花啊供养莲花生大师，供养释迦牟尼佛啊，那么这个就叫做小乘佛教。
However, if you're making this offering for the benefit of your personal health or lifespan or your personal liberation, then the virtue of this offering would be limited to the Hinayana level.
同样的一束花，同样的一尊佛像，为什么啊？这个当中一个是大乘佛教，一个是小乘佛教呢？
So you may ask, it's the same bundle of flowers you're making the offerings, and it's the same statue you're making offering to. Why is it different? Why are there two different kinds of virtues?
在这个中间，起到决定性的作用的这个，就不是这束花，也不是这个佛，而是我们的动机。
So what really makes the difference, what makes the determining factor, is not the flower, is not the statue. It's all about your motivation when you do the offering.
这样子我们就看得出来这个菩提心有多重要。
Therefore, you can understand how important, having this bodhicitta really means.
希望大家往这个菩提心这个方面努力。
I hope you all strive towards cultivation of bodhicitta.
菩提心它是一个超级的利他主义的思想。
Bodhicitta is, or the cultivation of bodhicitta is the ultimate way of altruism.
当我们开始发菩提心的瞬间，我们就变成了一个从此我们的生命就变成了一个非常有意义的生命。
So within the instant when you start arising or the cultivation arise, when the bodhicitta start to presence in your being, then your life totally changed from this moment on.
只要有了这个标准的菩提心以后呢，从此以后我们再也不会多地狱、多恶鬼、多这个旁生这些都不会的。
Once you're able to generate this fully qualified bodhicitta, then there's no more falling into the lower realms, such as hell realms, hungry ghost realms, or the animal realms.
从此以后，我们的工作就是利益众生，帮助众生。
And moving forward, all we do is just benefit beings.
这就是菩提心的作用。
So this is the function and the meaning of bodhicitta.
接下来我们就讲今天的这个主题的课。
So now we will get into our subject for this afternoon.
那么今天我们下午讲的这个课就是一个依靠金刚萨埵来忏悔自己的罪过，有一个这样，是一个这样子的方法。
So what I'm introducing this afternoon is a practice by which we rely on deity Vajrasattva to confess our downfalls and purify our obstacles and obscurations.
佛教它尊重天任何一个宗教的观点，它尊重任何一个人的信仰，但是呢它有它的独特的见解。
All religions respect other religious faith.
就是说佛教它尊重所有的宗教，它尊重所有人的信仰，但是呢它有它自己的独特的思想和见解。
So Buddhism really respect and hold high regards towards all the religious practice or doctrines, and yet Buddhism has its own very unique viewpoint.
所以他去解释这个世界，或者他去解读我们的心的本心这样子的时候，很多时候他有一些独特的一些思想和见解。
Buddhism has its very unique view in addressing the coming of the world and the nature of human mind.
所以佛教他认为我们的所谓的罪过，所谓的罪过它不是我们的本心。
Therefore, in Buddhism, it really doesn't think that all the negativities and downfalls belongs to the nature of our mind.
在我们的心的本心上面没有罪过的，它是非常的纯洁，它是非常的光明，跟佛的智慧是一模一样的。
Because we believe in the nature, most fundamental nature of our mind, there's no negativity whatsoever. Its nature is pure, luminous, and the same as the state of Buddha.
所有的罪，所有的罪过都是不是先天的，都是后天的。
So all the negativities and downfalls that was there happens later on. It's not primordially existing in that ultimate state.
因为这些罪过它不是我们的本心，所以它可以把这些罪过可以忏悔得很干净的。
And it is because of the fact that these negativity is not primordially present within our nature, therefore we can utilize the method of confession to purify them.
我们的心就像一个非常纯洁的一个玻璃一样。
Our mind is just like a very clean and transparent glass.
所有的罪过就在这个玻璃或者这个水晶上面蒙上了一层涂一样。
And these downfalls and negativities like putting dirt on this beautiful crystal.
那么这个玻璃的纯洁跟在这个玻璃上蒙上的一层涂，这个尘土它没有实际的关系。
So you know,these dirts and soil that are on the surface of this crystal, and they're actually separate. They're not the same.
就像我们把这个玻璃水晶虽然上面有尘土，但是我们可以把它擦得干干净净的。同样的，我们的心的本心上面呢，目前就是蒙上了一层土，但是我们通过另外的方法把这层土可以抹掉可以清净。
And you know that by wiping it clean, these dirts would come off. So then the nature would reveal itself. And it is the same with the nature of our mind. Even though we're adventitiously obscure, but through the practice of confession, we are able to purify all the negativities and reveal the nature of ourselves.
所以我们很多的过去的修行人，他们讲罪过，它没有任何的好处，没有任何的功德。但是呢，它的唯一的优点啊，它没有任何的其他的优点，但是它的唯一的优点是可以把它忏悔掉，可以把它抹掉，这就是它的优点。
That is why there is a saying that says, according to ancient practitioners, they said there's nothing good about these negativities. The only benefit or the only thing that's good about these negativities is that they can be purified.
那么接下来我们再讲一下什么叫做罪过，什么叫做什么是不是罪过。
They can be purified through confession. So now we will explain what we'll consider will constitute a downfall.
从大乘佛教的角度讲啊，凡是伤害别人的啊，伤害人或者动物啊等等，伤害其他人的这些行为或者是念头啊，这都叫做罪过。
From Mahayana Buddhism's perspective, all the behaviors or thoughts that could cause harm to others is considered a negativity.
凡是能够帮助人的啊，凡是能够帮助除了人以外所有众生啊，也就是说，凡是能够利益众生的这些行为、言行举止，包括思想啊，都叫做善。
So in contrast to that, that which help or benefit beings, be it behavior, conduct, or thoughts, will be considered goodness.
所以啊，我们每一个人都曾经做过很多对其他的生命有害、有伤害的事情。
We all have done something to harm other beings in our past.
我们不能不承认，我们每一个人都曾经啊杀生、偷盗、撒谎等等啊，我们就每一个人都会啊曾经做过这样子的这个罪过，这一生或者上一世。
And I believe we all commit conduct such as killing, stealing, lying within this life or if not in previous lives.
所以我们现在啊要把这些罪过抹掉清净啊，这个才能够这样子能够帮助我们证悟大圆满。
Therefore, it is important to purify all these downfalls and compensate for our existence so that we can strive towards the practice and strive towards the realization of the audio of the Dzogchen.
接下来我们讲这个具体的方法。
Now we will get into the actual method of confession.
金刚萨埵的修法有很多很多种，很多不同的。我们今天讲的，这是一个法王如意宝的一个非常简单，但是呢，所有的这些忏悔的方法都包含在里面的一个这样子的这个一个衣柜一个方法。今天我们讲的就是这个内容。
So there are so many different versions of Vajrasattva practice, or practices to help you purify your negativities. But what we'll get into today is based on His Holiness Jingmi Pongso Rinpoche's Dharma. It's a very concise version, and yet it's subsumed with all aspects of practice pertaining to purifying your downfall. So this sadhana is the focus of our teaching this afternoon.
那么我们这个忏悔罪过的方式，不管是显宗或者是密宗里面呢，大家都是 同意的，就是有四个不同的阶段或者是不同的方法。
So there's a consensus between the sutric system or the tantric system when it comes to the practice of confession in terms of the four stages of the practice.
这四个不同的方法呢，就像我们洗衣服的时候需要水，还有需要这个肥皂，然后呢用洗衣机来转动才能够洗得干净。
So this is like when you are about to do the laundry, it has to involve water. It takes water, soap, and then it requires a washing machine and to be able to do all the washing work.
比如说没有水也没有办法洗，没有肥皂也洗不好，然后没有洗衣机的转动也洗不好。同样的道理，我们必须要这四个这个条件才能够把罪过忏悔的干净。
And you can't really be lack of any one of these things to be able to do a clean laundry. Without water, you certainly cannot wash. Without soap, you can't wash it clean. And without the spinning of the machine, you can't wash your laundry in a clean way. Therefore, similar to this, these four criteria are necessary and has to be present in your practice.
这四个方法就叫做四个对治理。
So it's also referred to as the four power you would have to exert when you're practicing the confession or the Vajrasattva practice.
四个对治力实际上就是四个不同的力量。
So it refers to four different power that you will have to apply in your practice.
用这个四种不同的力量来把我们过去的这些罪业抹掉清净掉。
So by use of these four types of power, you will then be able to purify all your past negativities.
其中第一个是我们观想金刚萨埵。
So the first power is to visualize Vajrasattva.
我们忏悔的时候呢，需要有一个意志，比如说我们向佛忏悔、向佛像忏悔、向释迦牟尼佛忏悔、向莲花生大师忏悔等等，我们需要一个想忏悔的地方这个叫做意志力。
So this power is also called the power of support or the power of reliance. You have to rely on something, and this something can be a Buddha.It can be a Buddha's statue, it can be a tanka, so something to help you focus and then become your object of your confession.
其实我们依靠比如说释迦牟尼佛、莲花生大师其他的任何一个这个佛或者是菩萨向他们忏悔都可以的。
So you can choose Buddha Shakyamuni or Guru Padmasambhava or any other Bodhisattva as your reliance.
但是金刚萨埵呢？我们为什么要选择金刚萨埵呢？金刚萨埵这尊佛跟我们的这个忏悔罪过这两个有一个非常密切的关系。
You might ask why Vajrasattva in this case?And it is because there's a very close relationship between this practice and this deity.
这个关系是什么呢？金刚萨埵他还没有成佛的时候，他在学习的时候，他在修行的时候呢，他曾经发过愿。他发什么样的愿呢？如果有人向他忏悔向他祈祷，念他的咒如果这个人的罪过不能清净的话，他就发誓不成佛。
And it is because Vajrasattva, when Vajrasattva was still on the path to enlightenment, he vowed, he aspired to the extent that if there ever is a person who would confess in his presence and pray to him and not being able to purify all his negativity, then he will never attain Buddhahood. This is his aspiration.
佛菩萨他们在本质上他们的力量他们的境界都没有什么区别。
So the nature and the potency or the power of the Buddhas and Bodhisattva, there's no difference between Buddhas and Bodhisattva.
但是他们的原理就是不同的。
But how they work or how we work with it can be different.
所以我们依靠金刚萨埵忏悔，那么这个力量就跟其他的佛和菩萨是不一样的。
And that is why if you rely on Vajrasattva for this practice, the effect would be different from if you rely on other deities.
那么我们观想金刚萨埵啊，观想的方法是什么样子呢？
So what's required in the visualization in this practice?
我们首先啊，这样子的这个金刚萨埵的佛像啊，这样子的金刚萨埵的佛像，通过这个佛像来观想啊。那么我们今天上午也讲过了，观想的时候呢，我们要照一个这个金刚萨埵的唐卡，大概就是有一周这么搞的啊，唐卡就放在我们的前面。
So then first of all, visualizing Vajrasattva, you can find a picture or a tanka, like we mentioned this morning, the size of it is better to be kept within 4 inch and, to 1 cubic tall.
然后我们今天上午给大家介绍过的身体的姿势，清空垃圾清虚，还有祈祷，这些都做完了以后呢，开始观想。今天我们上午讲的第一个身体的姿势啊，第二个就是清理清空我们的垃圾情绪啊，对，就还有一个就是最后的观想祈祷啊，这三个。
So, like what I mentioned this morning, the three steps that you always have to apply before you get into any form of practice.First of all, is to adjust your posture, make sure you meet the criteria of the seven attributes. And then secondly, you will have to clean out all your mental garbage. And then thirdly, cultivate this fervent regard and pray to the Buddhas or Bodhisattva.
然后我们把汤卡放在前面观想，这样子的话，这个观想就有两种这个作用，也就是一举两得。
So if you're able to do that, and with the tanka in your presence, right in front of you, and then you go ahead and engage your visualization with it.
一举两得是什么呢？第一个可以观想，观想得很清楚啊。第二个，也就是我们今天上午介绍过的。禅修的方法，他一方面观想得很清楚，一方面心能够很平静。这个一个修法有两种作用。
So then, with the tanka in front of you, to engage in this practice, engage in your visualization, would give you two benefits. It's like one birth hitting two birds with one stone. Sorry.And then, so the tanka would help you achieve clear visualization because it's right in front of you. You would look into it of all the detail. And then, like what we have mentioned this morning about all the techniques in quieting your mind. So if you're able to cultivate and make sure your mind is calmly abiding, then you would be able to benefit, from these two aspects.
但是我们 商务介绍的跟我们现在的这个修法稍微有一点点不一样，是我们今天上午讲的啊，专门看佛的媚见啊。但是这里呢，不一定啊。这里我们观想金刚萨埵的时候呢，先看金刚萨埵的面部。
But then there's a slight difference between what's introduced in the morning versus what's being introduced now, because in the morning we mentioned about placing your focus on the point, the white point between the eyes of the statue. But here you will start with visualizing or carefully examine the face of Vajrasattva.
然后我们在金刚萨埵的面部我们闭着眼睛的时候，也就像睁开眼睛正在看这个佛像的时候一样，很清晰很清晰的时候呢，然后就看金刚萨埵的有鼻有手。
So observing the face of Vajrasattva has to be repeatedly practiced to a point that you can vividlySee his face even with your eyes closed. So then if you're able to do that, then you can move on to clearly visualize his right arm.
然后金刚萨埵的右手观想得很清楚的时候呢，再看左手。
So then if you're able to clearly visualize what constitutes his right arm, then you can move on to the next, which is the left arm.
整个上半身都是比较观想的比较清楚的时候呢，然后再看右腿。
So if you can clearly visualize all his upper torso, then you can move on to visualize his right legs.
最后再看金刚萨埵的左腿。
And then after that, the left leg.
然后在这个过程当中呢，我们有些时候呢可以专门去看金刚萨埵的衣服或者是他的首饰装饰。
And then you may proceed to focus your observation or visualization on Vajrasattva's garments or his ornaments.
总而言之，就像我们闭着眼睛的时候也就像睁开眼睛那样，这么很清晰的时候呢，这个观想就成功了。
So in any case, you would practice this until to a point that you are so familiar with all the constituents of the statue, so to a point that you can clearly see it with your even with your eyes closed.
我们密宗里面呢，将很多本尊的观想。这种方法都是一样的。
So you may know that about the tantric practice called deity practice or deity visualization. So this is the same level of application.
这时候呢，我们把金刚萨埵很清新的能够观想在自己的前面的时候我们可以不用这个唐卡。
So until you can vividly visualize Vajrasattva, before that you would require a tanka in front of you. But once you can vividly visualize Vajrasattva, even with your eyes closed, then you will not require a tanka anymore.
那么这个时候呢，我们要把我们看到的、我们观想出来的这个金刚萨埵我们把它当作真正的金刚萨埵。
And then you would regard this visualized image as none other than the real presence of the Vajrasattva.
然后呢，我们把我们自己的金刚上师也跟这个金刚萨埵观想为一体，融为一体。
And then you would visualize this Vajrasattva is none other than your own root guru. In their nature, they're one and the same.
在大乘佛教里面呢。非常的忠实自己的上师，尤其是密法里面。
In tantric system, we maintain this high regard towards our own root guru.
为什么这么重视呢？大乘佛教他认为，佛的这些功德就像一个虚睡的水库，水库里面的水应该叫做虚睡的水库里面的水。
And the reason why in Mahayana system, Mahayana Buddhist system, with maintain this high regards towards our guru is because our guru is likened to the water reservoir, and the water in the water reservoir.
然后从释迦牟尼佛，从莲花生大师，到我们现在的自己的根本的上师，直接的这个很多很多的上师呢，就像一个。自来水的关岛一样。
So starting from Buddha Shakyamuni down to Guru Padmasambhava and many other lineage gurus until your own very immediate root guru. So they're connected in a way that it's like water flowing down from the same stream.
那么我们的上师呢，就像在这个关岛的这个。自来水的水龙头一样。
And our root guru is like the faucet of this pipe.
这个管道，这个水库离我们也比较远，管道也离我们比较远，离我们最近的就是这个水龙头。
So then you understand the reservoir can be quite far away from us, and the maneuvering of the water pipe can be indirect, and what's the most direct with us is this faucet.
也就是用我们的手去操作，可以操作，可以去接触，可以去摸的这个东西呢，也是这个水龙头。
So this faucet is something we can personally touch with our own hand. We can control the faucet. We can do everything with it with our own hands.
所以如果这个水龙头有问题的话，虽然是有水库，水库里面也有水，也有管道，但是我们同样的得不到水。
So if there's some problem with the faucet, even though you know that there is a reservoir out there, and then there's pipe that water flows through, but with this problematic faucet existing, then you will not be able to get water from there.
那么在这个意志上师这个方面呢，我觉得很多的西方人还是非常的非常稳定跟着一个上师可以跟着十几年，我觉得很不错我去年在英国参加了一个上师的这个他们的居心的一个纪念会那么这个当中呢，他的上师的很多弟子都出来说话，每一个人都发现他们都跟着这个上师已经有些是50年、40年、30年这样子的。
So I know it for a fact that it is best practice in the West when it comes to relying on one's guru or taking refuge under a guru.Because they tend to be stable and to maintain this relationship with their guru, sometimes decades. And last year I went to UK and I participated in this gathering where there are many gurus there and their disciples there. And then it was made in the speech that he made me to realize that many of these disciple and student relationships has been there for 30, 40, or 50 years.
我觉得这个非常好，这个就是符合密法的要求。
I'm very pleased with it because this is a very important factor when it comes to practicing in a tantric system.
学密的人应该是这样子，这样子才能够挖掘到东西。
If you consider yourself a tantric practitioner, you would have to understand that this is important to maintain this relationship with your guru.
所以我们在这个时候观想， 金刚萨埵的时候呢，要把金刚萨埵和我们的上师观相为一体。
Therefore, when you visualize Vajrasattva, you would visualize your own root guru to be none other than Vajrasattva. They're one and the same.
因为金刚萨埵他是水库，但是我们的上师就是龙头，水龙头，这两个都有，我才能够喝水。
Because Vajrasattva is the water reservoir, and our guru is the faucet, and both has to be present to make things work. And you will be able to drink water from it.
好，这个就是第一个我们刚才讲的这个四个方法里面的第一个方法忏悔的方法，就观相、金刚萨埵和自己的上师，这是第一个。
So this is the first method or the first power to exercise when you're practicing Vajrasattva, which is to regard Vajrasattva to be none other than your own guru.
第二个方法呢，我们对过去的我们曾经所做的杀生、偷盗、欺骗然后迫害别人的家庭等等等等，凡是我们曾经做过对其他的生命有害的这些这些念头、这些这个心动我们对这些事情要发自内心的内疚惭愧就是后悔这个是其中这个四个方法当中最重要最重要的一个就是对过去的罪过的罪业的这个内疚或者是后悔。
So the second method is the power of regret. So feeling guilty towards whatever it is that you have committed in the past, be it killing, stealing, lying, or breaking up others' family, anything that's harmful, so that you will, it can be a conducted or ill will towards others. So whatever it is that you have this negative behavior or thoughts against others, you will at this stage feel guilty about it to a point you want to confess. So, and this method is considered the most important out of the four.
如果我们对过去的杀生、偷盗、欺骗这些伤害众生的这些行为，我们不感到后悔没有内疚我们认为这个是理所当然的，这样子的话，这个罪过是没有办法清净的。
So instead of feeling guilty and confess over these negative conduct or thoughts you have towards others, such as killing, stealing, and lying, so not feeling guilty about it, and at the same time, you take it for granted, you didn't feel anything at all towards whatever it is that you do, then this is considered irreparable.
所以我们要很认真的去思考我们过去怎么样杀生这个杀生给其他的生命带来了多大的痛苦然后我们曾经怎么样去偷盗那么这个偷盗对别人带来了多大的伤害等等，这些每一个这些细节都要去深入的去思考。
So it takes a lot of reflection to carefully look at what you have done in the past. For example, what a life you have taken to cause such great harm to other beings, or the fact that I steal from other people and cause these sufferings to other beings. So really carefully examine all these negativities that you have engaged in from the past and feel guilty about it.
然后我们感到非常的这个惭愧，非常的后悔、内疚，这样子的时候呢，我们就向金刚萨埵发怒自己的过去的这些罪业。
So you will feel so regretful to a point that you would have this urgent need to confess in the face of Vajrasattva, and just by saying out loud.
怎么样发怒自己的这个罪过呢？像金刚萨多和上师啊，发怒我某年某月某日在什么样的地方啊，做了什么样的不应该做的事情？比如说杀盗啊，杀盗淫妄。等等，那这样子的，只要我们能够回忆的，我们能够想起来的这些所有的罪过，就在金刚萨多和这个上师面前要发露出来。
So how to confess and feel regret towards your past behaviors, negativities? Is that you would have to say out loud in the face of Vajrasattva or your own guru, and then confess that back in what certain years, in what month, and what day, and where something happened, something that I did to cause harm to beings, can be killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, or whatnot, and then whatever it is that you can recollect at this point, you would just spill it out. In the face of Vajrasattva and your guru, and then make confession.
这是第二个方法。
So this is the second method or the second power.
然后第三个方法，第三个方法呢，我们过去因为我们不知道也许很多很多事情都是因为我们不知道，在不知道的这个情况下，不了解的情况下。去做了很多不应该做的事情，但是呢，我们现在什么是该做，什么不该做，我们清楚了，知道了这样子以后呢，我们下决心从此以后呢，我再也不去再也不去做历史的对众生对这个人对众生有害的这些事情。
And the third is the power of resolution. So at this point, you will realize that you have done all these negativities because you didn't know better. So now that you do know better, it is time that you make this resolution. You vow never to repeat it again, never to harm any sentient beings again. So this is called the third power, the power of resolution.
比如说过去一直都是一个杀生的人经常都去杀生的人，那么他现在就下决心他就宣誓向金刚萨多和上师宣誓我从今以后不再去杀生，这样子的话，那么当下就他的这个杀生的这个罪过当下就清净了许多，清净了一部分。
For example, for someone who have taken lives, and then by exercising the power of resolution, then what needs to be done here is to vow heavily in front of the Vajrasattva and one's guru.So take this vow and never to repeat this activity, this conduct again. So never to kill or take life again. And then in the moment that you have a vow never to kill again, your negativity will be purified, a portion of it.
那么以后我们不再做这个事情呢，有些罪过我们曾经做了。但是呢，从今以后，我们完全是可以永远都可以不再做。有些罪过呢，我们曾经也做过了，但是呢，我们现在要彻底的放下，彻底的不去做，可能有一定的难度。
So some negative behavior, some negativities that you have committed, It may be possible that you would never commit again, but there are certain type of negativities that would be hard to get away with, or Even if you have done this in the past, and then it's hard to avoid it in the future.
那么有些罪过我们实在是没有办法立即断掉以后不再做，没有办法这样子的话呢，也有一个比较人性化的选择。
So for this type of negativity that may be difficult for you to sever immediately, there is a much easier way for you to adapt to deal with it in a gradual manner.
比如说，在屠宰场工作的一个工作人员那么他是宰牛的那么他这是他的工作，如果他实在是没有办法放下不再杀牛，那么这种情况下他也可以宣誓，我除了牛以外其他的生命我坚决不杀，我不杀人不再杀其他的生命，那么这也是一种忏悔的方式。
So for example, if you work in a killing house, say a slaughterhouse for cows or whatnot, and then it's hard for you to just leave this job immediately altogether. But then the way to help you purify your downfall in killing is that you can vow never to take other life forms. So any life form other than cows. That's related to your job, you will never ever kill or take their life ever again.
这个是被杀的这个生命当中也可以这样子另外一个呢，从实践的角度，比如说实在是没有办法这个不杀生这样子的话，那么他也可以这样子的集结性的，比如说我这三个月放不下杀生，但是呢下半年我坚决不杀，这样子也是一种忏悔的一种表达的方式。
So that was the way of confession from the perspective of the lives that one has to kill, but from the perspective of time,then there's another way to make confession. For example, the profession that one takes can be seasonal. So you know that for this 3 months, there's no way for you not to kill, not to take lives. But then knowing that upfront, you can vow at this time and make confession that you will refrain from killing for the next half year or 6 months.So that is another way of making confession.
总而言之，我们想各种办法给把自己的这个造罪的这个空间和时间尽量的缩小。
So these are the many ways to reduce the chance of committing new downfalls in terms of time and space.
这些都是忏悔从今以后不再做就是这种都包含在这个方法当中都是有效的。
So as long as you can resolve never to repeat it again, no matter what form it come across, the way to confess, you know, whether it's time or space or from life's perspective, these are all considered the power of regret.
这就是说我们要尽量的捕捉实在是我们实在是没有办法宣誓断掉的话，那么就是向金刚萨埵向这个上师我们表达我尽量的不做罪业，尽量的不杀生，尽量的不偷盗，这样子也是一种忏悔的方式，也是有效的。
Therefore, it can still be effective if you can know what you have to do, but then you try your best to reduce it to the bare minimum. Then bow to your guru and Vajrasattva, never to repeat this again, reduce it to the most minimum, And that would be still considered effective in your confession.
这些都是一种非常人性化的一种忏悔的方式。
These are all ways that can easily be adopted as a way of practicing confession.
但是这个忏悔的效果呢，没有能够彻底的断除啊，这么好。
But still, the effect of that is still very significantly different from the type of vow that you just determined to not ever committing again.
这是第三种方法。然后最后一个方法是，这个我们为了忏悔过去的罪过啊，那么用什么方法来弥补呢？我们过去造罪啊。那么我们现在来行善啊，这个是最有效的方法。
So the last method pertains to the ways to atone for your past negativity or your past negative actions. How to atone for, how to amend for your past actions.
怎么样行善呢？啊，我们可以烧香，可以拜佛，可以修路，可以布桥。然后可以参加慈善活动啊，这个公益活动，这些都是啊善啊，这些都对我们的这个罪过有啊减轻罪过有帮助。比如说我们去啊这个建学校啊，建这个免费的啊敬老院啊，建这个医院啊免费的等等，凡是这些善事。啊，善事对别人有帮助的这些，都可以作为我们的这个忏悔罪过的方法。
So there are many ways when it comes to making amends or atone for what you have done in the past, such as you can burn incense, pray to the Buddhas, chanting, building roads, building bridges, or take part in any type of charity work. All of these.Can help reduce your negativities, or maybe help establish schools, free senior centers, or hospitals. So all of these can be considered effective because they help. It helps other beings.
但是我们在这里，我们今天讲的这个方法呢，不是这些是念金刚萨埵的心咒。
But what will be introduced here today is different from what was just mentioned. What I'm trying to introduce to you is the method and practice of Vajrasattva.
金刚萨埵的心咒就是 Om Vajrasattva Hum, 就这个几个字啊。那么我们具备前面的几个条件的情况下，念这个金刚萨埵的咒40万遍40万遍。这样子的话，那我们的很多很多的这个罪过都能够本质上就可以清净。
So here, the Vajrasattva mantra Om Bindasattva Hum, it will give you the way to purify your negativities if you can practice it in a way that you're fully qualified for all the four conditions that was mentioned.Just before, and then you will be able to accumulate 400,000 recitation. Then your negativity can be purified.
然后我们具备我们刚才讲的这个四个条件的情况下，念拜兹铭如果念10万遍10万遍拜兹铭的话，那么我们的所有的罪过基本上都能够清净。
If you can practice 100,000 recitation of the 100-syllable mantra of Vajrasattva, and of course, using the four conditions, the practice of four power as the foundation, then literally all the negativity can be purified in its entirety.
还有，比如说 啊，比如说我们当天啊做了某一种啊罪过不应该做的事情啊，然后我们发现了自己造罪的时候呢，回家啊就是坐下来观想金刚萨埵念啊108遍这个拜字名，那么这个罪过也就基本上可以清净的。
Or if you're mindful enough to notice that you have done something wrong, and within the same day or with this realization, you would go home and sit down and start practicing Vajrasattva and recite 108 times of the 100 syllable mantra, then that negativity can be purified right then and there.
还有一个，我们每天早上起来的时候还没有跟别人说话之前念啊21遍这个白字名啊，只念21遍白字名的话，那么可以把我们的这些罪过啊，可以控制它的增长。那么罪过它会增长吗？啊，如果我们造了某一种罪过，哦，不去忏悔的话，它一直都会增长的。
And then there's yet another way to confess your downfall or control the momentum or the increasing of any possibility of a negativity that can be born any moment, is that every morning when you wake up, before you start talking to anybody, you would start reciting 21 times of the 100 syllable mantra. Then there's that effect.
我们这个对我们的这个罪过的这种态度，佛教的这种态度，它是不能走两个极端。
So the general attitude of Buddhism towards negativity is that to not fall on any too extreme.
两个极端是什么呢？第一个极端，造罪以后呢，根本就不在乎啊，根本就不去忏悔。这个就是一个极端，这个非常的危险，非常的可怕。
So the first extreme is that, if you, for those individuals who have committed negativities and yet there's just no care of towards other beings, and then there's no remorse or no guilt toward other beings, and never occur to them to make confession, and this is considered a very dangerous type.
那么第二个极端呢，我们造了某一种罪以后呢，极度的恐惧啊，极度的恐惧以后，然后就成天就去想这个罪过啊，这样子就影响这个正常的啊修心，影响正常的这个忏悔啊，那也是一种极端。
And the other extreme is that, for those individuals who may have committed some downfall and some negativities, and then through which they have this extreme fear that's arising in them, and then they would get so caught up on it.And they have no control over it. They are constantly thinking about what they have done and constantly in this great fear. So then to a point that it will affect their regular practice or the quality of their the practice of their confession.
我们每一个人曾经都做过很多的这个罪过啊，因为一个普通的凡夫普通的人啊，不可能不遭罪，但是啊，没问题的，可以忏悔，只要我们愿意忏悔，就能够忏悔得很清净。
So we all have made or commit downfalls and negativities, so it's impossible for any human being not to make any create any negativities in them. So as long as we have this.Will to make confession, then there is a way to clean them.
佛教在这些问题上，它永远都是一个比较 他持这个乐观的态度。
So Buddhism provides a very optimistic approach to solving this problem.
就是说，我们虽然造了很多罪啊，但是呢，不需要失望，也不需要绝望啊，我们有办法清净啊，有办法忏悔，忏悔了以后呢，啊，这些罪过还是啊可以完全消除的。
And it thinks that even though you realize that you have committed a negativity or downfalls, and not to feel disappointed with yourself or to becoming so frustrated with yourself, and know that there's a way to confess your downfall. And as long as you have this strong faith that through the confession, you will be able to purify all the negativities.
但是也不能极端的乐观啊，极端的乐观，过分的乐观，就是造了罪以后呢，就觉得没关系，没问题啊，是有问题的，所以必须要罪，必须要忏悔。
But then not to fall on another extreme is that being too optimistic about what you have done, thinking that, oh, there's always something to do about it. But the truth is, if you've done something wrong, it's very wrong, it's not good. So don't even think or have any optimistic attitude towards what you have done.
我们来到了这个世界，然后呢，从零开始啊，也就是说，我们诞生在这个地球上的时候呢，我们一无所有，然后从零开始奋斗了一辈子啊，最后走的时候呢，我们还是要归零，我们什么都带不走。
So when we come to this world, we start from zero. We had nothing, and then we start working so hard towards. In our lives until the time when we have to face death and we're back to ground zero.
那么我们能够带走的就是这些善恶因果。
So what we can bring with us after we die is these residues from our past actions, positive or negative.
那么既然这些我们的名利都带不走啊，那么我们的罪业也不要带走，在这个地球上造的罪，我们应该放在这个地球上走。
Know that we cannot bring with us the fame or gain that we have accumulated throughout our lives. We also have to resolve that these karmic residues should be left behind on earth as well.
所谓留在这个地球上，我们不是留给谁啊，我们就是把自己解决了。
So, not to the point that we're leaving it for somebody else to take over, but we're not taking it with us.
我们今天的这个金刚萨埵的修法的讲座基本上就给大家介绍完了。接下来我们最后。做一个回想，我们今天上午下午的上课听课讲课的这个功德，我们分享给天下所有的众生，我们希望以此功德能够天下所有的众生能够健康长寿幸福快乐，最终都能够脱离轮回成佛大家发这样子的心愿。
So let's conclude this teaching by again dedicate all the merit that we have gathered here today since the morning and the afternoon by listening to the teaching or by giving the teaching. And then let's dedicate this virtue to all the sentient beings so that they can obtain health, long life, happiness, and all the mundane success.And but most importantly, to attain Buddhahood.
So Nam Dei Danja Zumba Nya Dune Nibe Dana Panshe Jan Jiga Nanjia Vamon Zumba Tribim zolin zho a zho var sho Om a hom ban zheng ge zhe ba ma se de hong Om a hom ban zheng ge zhe ba ma se de hong Om a hom ban zheng ge zhe ba ma se de hong
谢谢，谢谢大家。